Good morning, Franciscans.
Good morning.
In spirit this morning, we stand with victims of the synagogue bombing in Poway near San Diego. We stand also with victims of the mosque bombing and the Christian church bombing in Sri Lanka, which preceded it. When our sisters and brothers in faith are attacked at worship, we are all at risk. So we remember them in our prayers today. When it comes to the gospel today and the sermon, we have two stories of Jesus appearing to the disciples when they're gathered for worship. They gather for worship, and those become times of belief, times of coming to faith, of faith confirmed, and we believe, we want our worship worldwide to be occasions when people can come to faith, can know God as we hear about in Scripture today. So let that be our prayer as we hear our gospel and as we hear Pam break the word in her sermon.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Jesus, we believe you. All we heard is true. You break the bread. We recognize you. You are the fire that burns within us. Use us to light the world. Amen. How do you know Jesus was raised from the dead? A classmate of mine in high school once asked me. It seems like an unlikely story that someone could have made up. The whole crucifixion and resurrection thing, how can you know it really happened? Not the easiest question to answer at age 17. You see, I went to a private high school in the suburbs of Cleveland where the kids were predominantly Jewish. The most popular English course for seniors was a class on the Bible as literature, taught by a very dynamic teacher. The week before I got this question, a couple of my Christian friends and I had been excused from the beginning of that English class to attend Good Friday services. And when we returned, the teacher had us talk a little bit about the meaning of Good Friday and Easter to us as Christians. My Jewish classmates listened intently, and we all got into a really good discussion. But the next Monday, at the beginning of class, one guy asked the teacher if, before we got started with a topic for the day, he could ask us Christian students one more question about what we talked about on Friday. Then he turned to me and asked, "How do you know Jesus was really raised from the dead?" Well, I'd never asked myself that question because I just knew. My first response to him was a bit juvenile. "How do you know that Moses parted the Red Sea?" I asked him. A little too harshly, I'm sure. My good friend, who I'd gone to church with since we were both very little, then jumped in and said, "Because it's written in the Bible." I then added, "Because there were witnesses to the risen Christ. He spoke to them, he ate with them, he showed them his wounds. And they told others what they'd seen and heard. And they told others until their testimony was written down and became the gospel so we could read it and hear it too." I think that was the first time that I made the connection that I believed everything I believe as a Christian through the witness of others. I believed because I had heard the words of the Gospels, and through them, I encountered Jesus Christ. Through them, I developed a bond, a relationship with the Son of God, who once walked this earth as one of us, but now abides with us in a different way. It's not easy to have faith based on indirect evidence. Perhaps that's what my classmate was getting at. Even the Gospels tell us how hard it is. John's Gospel tells us that Mary didn't believe that Jesus had risen until she saw him and he spoke her name. The rest of the disciples were skeptical about her story until Jesus appeared to them in a locked room. Thomas missed that appearance and declared that he wouldn't believe that it was Jesus until he could see and touch the nail holes in his hands and the wound in his side. His fellow disciples, his community, testified to what they'd seen, and he still wouldn't believe. We have the same urge, don't we? Wouldn't we love to be able to see Jesus? To see and touch his crucifixion wounds and know that they're real and that he's real? To know that it's not all just a myth, a powerful and compelling story, but nothing more. The community of believers that John was writing for in the first century certainly must have struggled to hold on to their faith as the firsthand memories of the man Jesus grew fainter. And the disciples and those who knew him and witnessed to the signs and events of his life, death, and new life began to die themselves. But John made clear to them and to all of us who have come after them that direct evidence isn't necessary. John begins his gospel with come and see stories. When Philip tells Nathanael, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets also wrote." And Nathanael responds with skepticism. All Philip can say is, "Come and see." And Nathanael's direct and personal encounter with Jesus makes him a believer. After the Samaritan woman at the well has an eye-opening conversation with Jesus, she goes back to the city and says to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" Many of the people believed in Jesus because of what she told them of her encounter. But after several days of their own encounter with him, they said to her, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." These stories of direct encounter with Jesus start to change, though, And by the time John's Gospel tells of Christ's death and resurrection, the importance of a personal encounter with Jesus remains, but it's no longer necessarily a direct encounter with Jesus. Mary Magdalene tells Peter and the other disciples that the tomb is empty on the third day, but when they come and see, they don't encounter Jesus directly and don't know what to believe. Mary then has a direct encounter with Jesus and tells the other disciples, but it's not until they have a direct encounter themselves in the locked room that they believe. Thomas will show us how we are to believe when we can no longer see or touch Jesus. Because Thomas's faith came not through seeing or touching, but through hearing. Now, did you ever notice that John never tells us if Thomas actually touched Jesus' wounds? Jesus invited him to, but it didn't matter if he did. Thomas believed because of what he heard. Jesus' invitation for Thomas to touch him was a testimony to the truth of his resurrection, and his words, "Do not remain in unbelief, but believe," were an invitation to a personal encounter with the risen Christ. Hearing the testimony and the invitation to trust and abide in Jesus were all that Thomas needed to confess Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. "My Lord and my God," he exclaimed. Decades later, John knows that experiencing Jesus will be difficult for the new believers. He tells the story of Thomas's journey to faith so that those new believers and the rest of us who have come after them can hold fast to the knowledge that by hearing the witness of those who knew and saw Jesus and believed in him, we too can believe in the risen Christ and experience him personally in our lives. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe," Jesus said. He said those words to Thomas, but clearly they are a final beatitude for all of us whose faith comes not from direct evidence, but depends on the witness in Scripture and the witness of the saints past and present to Jesus as the Christ. John is inviting us to make Thomas's story our story. John is speaking to us, giving us a way to come to believe. Through hearing the word, the witness of those who have seen and believed, and through the embrace of our Christian community, we can claim our own personal experience of Christ. We can let go of unbelief and instead believe, entering into a relationship with God, trusting in Christ, having life in his name as branches have life in the vine. The call is now to come and hear and experience God working in us through the Word and the Holy Spirit. This is how we know Jesus and how we come to believe in him, his life, death, and resurrection, and his presence in the world today. Since high school, I've been asked many times and in many ways how I know that Jesus ever really lived, died, and was raised from the dead. I've been called stupid and foolish for believing in all that when there's no proof, no scientific evidence for any of it. And I understand the unbelief. But I stand on the shoulders of many who have borne testimony to the living God and have heard the truth in the words of the Scripture. I believe not because of someone else's experience of Jesus, but because through their experience, I've been invited into my own encounter with the Word made flesh and have found new life in the love poured out for me by Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. You have heard the word. Now the work begins. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.